Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Preston McElyea, and I'm thankful to have this opportunity on this Friday morning to be your host. Of course, Mornings for the Master, we have different hosts every weekday morning, and Friday is always my day. And so Friday is also my day off, so I'm not in the office on Fridays, which is why currently I am recording this program in the studio. But there's nothing wrong with that. And so thankfully we have this studio here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, where we have the technology, we have the capability, and have the space that we're able to do this recording ahead of time, and we can make sure that everything is ready to go before it airs for you to listen to every Friday morning. Well, this morning we're back to, I guess, what we had become accustomed to before last week, where we have some different individuals with us. And actually today I have two special guests with me here in the studio, here live. Well, I say live, they're live with me right now in person in the studio. And one of these two guests you actually already know if you've been listening to our program. He has been on with us before, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Thank you, Preston. My name is Aaron Anderson, and I'm a gospel preacher who graduated from Southwest School of Bible Study in 2021, and I'm also the director of the Home of Recovery and Restoration. Thankful to you and to God above for being able to be on this program with you this morning.
And also, another fun fact about Aaron is he's a pretty good fisherman. He's got a great guide service that he does on the side. I say he does it on the side. He really doesn't, but he likes to take us out on his boat every now and then and go catch some fish.
Yes, Preston, if I was a guide service, I'd get paid for it, but I do not. So,
but no, it's Aaron is certainly a great friend. He's a great preacher and a great student of God's Word. But also today we have another guest with us who I'm very excited to have in the studio with us. And would you like to introduce yourself for us?
Yes, my name is Jaime Weislogel. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to God. This is an amazing day. Thank you, Preston. Thank you, Aaron. God answers prayers. I live at the Home of Recovery and Restoration, member here at the Church of Christ in Mount Vernon. And I'm so thankful for everything. And to just be in this room today is just amazing. Thank you.
We're thankful for you, Brother Jaime. And Jaime, he's, as he mentioned, there at the Home of Recovery. He completed the program recently, and he's staying there and helping out the other guys in the program. And Jaime also is working to do all that he can for the Lord. He recently started helping out with the jail ministry that we do in Franklin County, and has gone up to the jail to help with that. And now we've got him here in the studio helping out with the radio. And so Jaime came to me and he said, you know, what can I do? What can we find? And I said, oh, don't you worry. We'll find something for you to do. And so here he is. But Jaime, we're certainly thankful for you and your good heart and your willingness to sometimes step out of that comfort zone. Yes. In fact, I think Aaron and I talked about it in the last program that we did together when he came. It was a little bit about, you know, the work that we have as Christians, that sometimes it can be a little bit uncomfortable, but we got to step out of that comfort zone. And until we step out of it, it's never going to get to be more comfortable. But I know that you certainly will be a good benefit and an added bonus to us in our program today. It's always good to have other people here in the studio. I've gotten used to that, and I guess, you know, somewhat taken it for granted, even though it had only been like four programs with other people with me. I didn't have to talk all the time. And, you know, last week when I didn't have anybody because I didn't schedule anyone to be here, I had to do all of the talking for myself. And there were times where I was like, I have no idea what I'm saying. Kind of like right now, I just feel like I'm rambling on. But that's all right. And so now today we can kind of break that up, and hopefully it won't be too monotonous. Hopefully you listeners at home will enjoy our program today as we just kind of have a discussion about God's Word. And so we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians here on our Fridays for Mornings for the Master. And we worked our way through 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it was that we saw Paul talking about the Thessalonians, talking about the brethren in Thessalonica, and the good work they were doing for Christ Jesus. We worked our way through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we saw that Paul gave that great defense of himself, of Silvanus and Timothy, as he would remind the brethren about the type of work, the type of ministry that they did among the brethren in Thessalonica. And then now we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've worked our way through the first couple of sections here in the chapter as it relates to why it was that Paul was sending Timothy back to them to learn more about them, to help establish their faith. And then today, we'll be looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, and Lord willing, we'll be able to make it through the end of this chapter in our program as we look at Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians faith. And so as we get into this, Brother Jaime, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13?
For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Thank you, Jaime. And so again, when we look in these verses, ultimately the main thing that we see is Paul's prayer concerning the Thessalonians' faith. But before it gets into that prayer, when we look in verses 9 and 10, what we can see is Paul's great longing. We see that Paul has a great desire and a great reason to give thanks concerning the Thessalonians. Starts out in verse 9 with a little bit of a rhetorical question. He says, for what thanks can we render to God for you? Well, certainly Paul had reason to give thanks, did he not? We think about these brethren, and there were many reasons, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as we continue on. But Paul is saying, you know, what can we possibly give back to God? What can we possibly repay God, even as it concerns you? That's a powerful question, is it not?
Yes, Preston, very powerful question. And it's a question that we must ask ourselves. We must constantly be asking ourselves, how can we give thanks to God? How can we pay back God for the ultimate gift that he gave us? The ultimate gift of salvation there's nothing we can do personally to receive that gift outside of the gospel of Christ. It's through his grace and his love that he has always had this plan from the beginning of time. Ephesians is quite frank about that.
Yeah.
That this was, you know, a mystery revealed, but now it's been unveiled. It's been revealed to us. And so we must always be asking ourselves, how can I repay God with my life devoted to him for what he's given me, which is the ultimate gift of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, which is something that we could never have earned on our own.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, the least that we can do through it all is just to simply give thanks to God. I mean, certainly there's so much more, but in the grand scheme of things, when we think about it, the least of all that we could do is just take a moment to say thank you, God.
Amen, Christian.
Thank you, God, and to take advantage of every opportunity to glorify God, to praise God, to thank God, to be of service to God.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about it and look at it, and even as we are right now and thinking about thanking God for all that he has done for us in our life. But then we look at, you know, back in that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9, and we consider what Paul was doing here. That it's not just the fact that Paul is saying, well, what can I possibly give back to God? What thanks can I possibly repay him for what he's done to me? But what does Paul say?
He's saying, for you. for the church. Paul is always so thankful. And if you look throughout all the books that the Spirit guided Paul into inscribing, that he is always thankful. And most of all, not only thankful for the life that God had given him in his place and going to the Gentiles and starting these congregations, but also the thanks that he gives for the brethren, mm-hmm. to God, for the faithful brethren. And even when he's having to, like with 1 Corinthians, even when he's having to discipline them, he is still thankful for them.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that he was also thankful for those who were causing problems in his life as long as Christ was being preached.
Yeah, and that's Philippians 1. And you know, even you talk about that example with the brethren in Corinth and the fact that Paul was still thankful for them despite the discipline that he had to give. Well, you know, we keep looking here in 1 Thessalonians and what we'll be able to get to, you know, if not Lord willing next week, then the week after that, at some point, hopefully, we'll make it into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the very first part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, well, Paul was having to give a little bit of discipline to them, that there were some things that needed to be corrected, some things that needed to be fixed if they were to live as God would have them to. Yet through it all, Paul was thankful for them. And that's a good thing for us to stop and consider. Because Christianity is not a selfish religion.
No, sir.
Being a Christian, following Christ Jesus, is not about, well, what can I get out of this for me?
Right.
You know, if we're truly following Christ Jesus, you know, Christ Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I believe that's Mark chapter 10 and in verse 45, if I'm not mistaken. But the point of it is that as Christians, we're to have others in mind.
Amen, Preston. If you think about it, even Jesus, what would you do with your last week of life if you knew you were going to the cross? Would you be washing people's feet? Would you be going and making sure to encourage those who you were about to leave? Or would you be selfishly wanting others to serve you? No, Christ went and served up to the very minute he was serving. And we can take that for example. And we must make sure that that's what we're doing with our lives, because we're the example to the world around us. And we can do so much by serving others that our words can't describe.
Mm-hmm.
The people out in the world don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. So we can help others by caring and serving others and always giving thanks for our faithful brethren and for the opportunities God's going to bring to us to bring the gospel to those who are still lost.
Yeah, and I mean, if we think about it, and even, you know, adding on to what you're talking about, that idea that we need to make sure others can see how much we care, we just think about what it is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were going through here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, that if we go back to that chapter that deals with the background in Acts chapter 17, we remember Acts 17 in verse 5, that envious mob of the Jews that arose and ultimately drove them out of Thessalonica, how from there they would be followed into Berea, and they'd be driven out of Berea. And then for their safety, Paul would have to go on to Athens, until ultimately now we find where very likely Paul was in Corinth at this time. But the point is that in all of these things, there was hardship all along the way. And you know, Jaime, if we just think about it as men, as just simply being humans, and we take Christianity out of the equation, if all of these things are going on in our life, where is our concern going to be? I mean, we're going to be thinking about ourselves, right?
Yes.
We're going to be working to make sure that we stay safe. We're going to be concerned that we have everything that we need. And the last thing, again, if we're thinking just simply as men and we're not thinking as Christians, we're not going to be thinking about those in Thessalonica at this point.
That's why everything begins and ends, I think, with love. You know, that's what it teaches. It's love. Love is everything. And what when I read and I think about this, you know, that's the thing that I always focus on is love and how we should love one another. And one of our teachers always says to the best way to help yourself is to help someone else, you know, and that's what it brings me to thinking of whenever I'm listening or reading is about that. Is helping others, help yourselves, the best way to get to heaven, you know, the teachers say is take someone with you.
Oh, and I agree completely that love is the key in it all. I mean, throughout this book of 1 Thessalonians, and those of you who've been listening since we started our study in 1 Thessalonians, and if you haven't, you can go back and catch up through the on-demand section here on tgrn.org. But you'll recall how throughout this study we've emphasized at different points where Paul is showing his care, he's showing his concern, that he's showing his love for the brethren, and this is just another example of that. That it's because Paul had the love of God for the brethren in Thessalonica that he's now giving thanks to God for them. I mean, it shows us the selfless nature of Paul. It shows us that he didn't want God's blessings all for himself, but he wanted God's blessings even for others. He wanted God's goodness to be shared with others and to be shared with his brethren. And so Paul wasn't jealous of what God was doing for others. Rather, he was amazed by it.
Yes, Preston, if you look at this line in verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God for you, you really have to go back up to verse 6 through 8, because it's the news that he received from his faithful brethren, his son in the faith, Timothy, of their great love. In their great faith, in the works they were doing at Thessalonica at the time. And so he's so thankful that he's getting a good report from Timothy. And it's amazing that when we have good reports of our brethren, that we always need to be thankful to God and see, just as Paul was trying to figure out how he could encourage them and how he could bring about good results for the church there, that's how we need to be.
Yeah.
That's how we need to think.
And you know, tying it back up into verses 6 through 8, we see that even further when we look at that last portion of verse 9. Because Paul is saying, well, the reason it is that they're giving thanks, the reason that we can give thanks to God for you is because of all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. And the reason that they had that rejoicing, the reason they had the joy, is because of that good report they got back from Timothy, that the brethren were doing well. And of course, you recall from our study last week that it wasn't necessarily a report that they were in good health physically, but what mattered is they were in good health spiritually. And sometimes we get those blessings mixed up in our mind. And you know, we're men, we're human, we're flesh and blood, and so we tend to naturally think about things at a physical level before we think about it at a spiritual level. And so sometimes we just want to focus on and think about those physical blessings of God. But what is it that we're promised as Christians?
A victory and basically a eternal home in heaven with God. And when we think about it, no matter what trial or what we're facing in life or what sickness or what different things we're facing in life, we've got to remember this is not our home. And whenever we stay faithful, we're promised that white robe. We're promised our name to be written in the book of life and access to the tree of life. So no matter what we're going through now, because it's nothing new. It's nothing new to us in the 21st century that wasn't going on in the first century tenfold. They were going way more troubles and tribulations. And we have much better health nowadays and many more blessings, especially here in America, from God. But we must understand that the greatest blessing of all is the ability to remain faithful to God. The ability to study his completed word. They didn't have this back then. they were just receiving these letters for the first time. And so we're able to take the collected works that are given by the Spirit and study this and learn that if we remain faithful, we will have the victory, that these physical blessings are great. And we must understand that those are great, and it's wonderful to have those. But the spiritual blessings, the comfort, the peace, the love that you feel, the okayness that can only come from glorifying God with your life. How do you feel about that, Jaime?
It's a wonderful thing. Peace, happiness, glorifying God. Oh my goodness! You search your whole life. Before being a Christian, I searched my whole life for love, happiness, peace, and never found it. And now that I have become a Christian, that I want to live my life serving God, being happy through the things that I can do for God, because of what has been done for me, because of the Jesus, because of what he went through, and keeping that in the forefront of my mind always. And as it says here, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. I think about that, and I believe that as long as I keep doing what is presented in front of me, and we all do that's what we should do, is take up our cross daily and follow. And that's how you find peace, and that's how you find happiness, is serving and giving all the glory to God, and searching for ways to help the brethren in whatever way that could be, and lifting them up and seeing when someone's doing better, or whatever you can do and will do, and just be involved.
Yeah, and that's, you know, where it's all headed. And of course, we're talking about those spiritual blessings is what we've been promised. You know, you think about Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, that all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. That's what we as Christians have. Certainly, any good thing in this life, if it is good health, if it is good wealth, whatever that goodness is, well, James 1 and verse 17 tells us that those perfect gifts come from God. And so we know certainly that all blessings, whether of a physical or a spiritual nature, are coming from God, but our focus as Christians should not be on those physical blessings. They need to be on the spiritual blessings. And Paul shows that that's where his focus and his mindset was, and even that's what he's giving thanks to God for as it relates to the Thessalonians, that Paul is thankful. He's giving thanks to God even in these prayers night and day, you know, as Jaime mentioned from verse 10, because of the faith. It's because of, again, that good report that they got back from Timothy, that the brethren in Thessalonica were excelling in their spiritual walk with Christ Jesus. And so we need to make sure that even as it relates to our prayers, you know, if we put ourselves in the position of Paul, when it comes to our prayers, are we simply praying for our own faith, or are we praying for the faith of our brethren as well? Are we thanking God for the faithfulness of our brethren? Because that's exactly what Paul does here, and that is the beautiful example that he sets for us.
Yes, Chris. Preston, this is one of those things where it's the joy. And Paul talks a lot about joy. Paul talks a lot about joy. Rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We know from rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 6:10, rejoice in the Lord always, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. There must be joy, has to be found in the life of a Christian. And what better way to find it when we hear of other faithful brethren doing good? And if we had something to do with that, how much joy could that bring you? I know for me, seeing men like Jaime come in and not knowing the Lord, and then through the time them being with us, learning the Lord and being baptized and added to the church by God, and then wanting to serve God with their lives, what joy that brings me. I can't imagine the joy that it brings God.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that Jesus came to seek the lost. And what joy it brings through his words and through his message and his gospel to see broken lives mended, healed by the stripes of Jesus, and then the joy that we can see in that, and the joy that it brings them, and then the joy that it brings God. I can only imagine with how many people Paul had helped. No wonder he was saying, rejoice always. What an amazing life he lived.
So. And that's the, you know, it's important in all of that, like you mentioned, that it's not about the joy it brings me. It's more importantly about the joy it brings God.
Amen.
That, you know, at times we may play a role, an important role maybe even in bringing others to Christ, or, you know, if it weren't for us, then who knows what might have happened. But sometimes, unfortunately, because of that, maybe we start to think a little bit more about ourselves than we should. Maybe we start to think, well, the power is in me, the ability is all in me, and that's not the case.
The joy is in myself is what I'm able to do for God. How joyous He is, and that makes me happy. That gives me the joy is what I'm able to pay back. What I'm able to do, and it flows down to me is, you know, the way I see it.
Yeah, and Aaron, you had something?
As you were saying, Preston, that we must be very careful to always remain humble. Just as John said, let me decrease so that he can increase. We must make sure that we are always putting ourselves in our proper place. Now, God has used us as instruments. He uses us to go out. He needs us to proclaim the gospel to others. That's how it goes. But we must make sure that it's not our gospel and that we're not teaching something that we've devised, that it's always the gospel plan that is found only in Scripture that has the power to do anything. And we must always remain humble. We must always make sure that we are decreasing so that God can increase in the lives of those around us and in our own lives. Because mm-hmm. if we put ourselves up on that pedestal, the next thing you know, we're going to fall right off that pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to fall away. And we're going to think that I did this. No, I didn't do anything in my life, Preston. All I did was become obedient to the plan God had for me. And I just do the next right thing at each fork in the road. And sometimes we do good in life, and sometimes we need to do better. But it's not us. It's only the power of God that's able to lift others up.
And that's where Paul's joy and his thanksgiving was coming from, is not that they were doing what Paul wanted them to do, but the brethren in Thessalonica were doing what God wanted them to do. And Paul was simply a servant. Paul was simply a minister working on God's behalf there with the Thessalonians. I mean, already in this book, we've seen where it is that Paul emphasizes to the brethren in Thessalonica what it is they learned, what it is they obeyed, what it is they were living. You can go back and look in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, and you can see where it is that the brethren in Thessalonica, they received the teaching not as the words of men. They didn't receive it and believe it, accept it, and obey it because it was Paul or Silvanus or Timothy, but they understood that it was the word of God. And even as we'll see once we get into chapter 4, before Paul starts to give a little bit of that correction or that instructive discipline, Paul tells them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, how it is that they knew what they were taught, they knew what they received, that the goal of it all was to please God, and so they needed to keep those commandments which were given to them, even by the authority of Christ Jesus. And so that's where the emphasis is for Paul, is on those things of a spiritual nature. It's on doing what God would have any individual to do. And that's where our focus and emphasis needs to be as well. I do want to mention, however, before we move on into the next verse, as well, when we look in verse 10, that Paul, in his prayer, it's twofold. Of course, we've been dealing primarily with the spiritual aspect of it, because that's where the emphasis, where the importance of the prayer is as it relates to the whole of the context. But again, jumping back to a point that Jaime made earlier about the key being in love, we see Paul's love as care and concern again when he says he also is praying night and day that we may see your face. That goes back up into chapter 2. Won't spend too much time with this since we have already covered it in depth when we dealt with chapter 2 and the last several verses there. But you recall specifically verses 17 and 18 where Paul talks about that great desire, the great longing they had to see the brethren face to face. But the problem was Satan continued to hinder them, that Paul could not make it back to be with them in person. Yet Paul continued to pray that he could be there with them. But again, the emphasis that we've been focusing on, at least here, is on the spiritual nature, because it wasn't just to be back with them to make sure that they were doing okay physically. The purpose in going back to be with them was going to be to perfect what was lacking in their faith, to try and fill in any gaps, to fill in any holes that may have been there as it related to their understanding of Christ Jesus. And so that's what we see in Paul's longing and his desire for the brethren as it relates to their faith and for the great thanks that he could give to God on their behalf. But now as we move into verses 11 through 13, now we can see a beautiful prayer from Paul, and this tells us what it is ultimately that Paul was praying to God on behalf of the brethren. Starts out in verse 11 when he says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you." This goes back to, again, in the end of verse 10, how Paul wanted to see them in person. He wanted to see their face so he could perfect what was lacking in their faith. And so, and right alongside that, he says, well, may our God and Father himself, may our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Basically, what Paul is saying here is, as if there's any way, Paul knew it was not going to be by his ability. It was not going to be under his will, but it was going to be under the will of God. And he didn't know if there was some way that God or that Christ Jesus could make it happen, but he knew if there was a way that it would be by God the Father or Christ the Son. And so he's praying that, but I want us to key in for a moment on those first two words. When Paul says, now may, what does the use of that word may suggest to us?
Possibility.
Exactly. That in the prayer, Paul understood that he was not making demands of God. Paul was making a request to God. That Paul knew, again, that there is a possibility that what he prays for, that what his desire was, might not come to pass. You know, we think about different examples. We can think about Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, where it is that Jesus is in the garden and Jesus is praying to God as he's looking ahead to the crucifixion, to the betrayal, to all of those terrible things that are about to happen. And Jesus prays to God, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That if it were up to Jesus as a man, Jesus didn't want to have to go through with the pain. Jesus did not want to have to endure, and he prayed to God, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. But as we know, and as we continue to look through the gospel accounts, and we know all that happened to Jesus, well, it wasn't God's will that that cup of suffering be passed. That Jesus had to endure it. Jesus had to drink that cup of suffering, and he had to endure all of that pain. And so by saying, as Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11, now may, he recognized that. But how often is it in our prayers that our prayers are more of a demand? That while we say, you know, well, we're asking God for this or we're requesting it, how often is our attitude that we're expecting it?
Far too often, Preston. Far too often. And, you know, in our prayers, it should be, if it be your will, whatever it is we're asking, it needs to be in line with the will of God. Because otherwise, if you're asking something that is not in line with the will of God, you're going to receive a no. And you may receive a no, you may receive a not right now, or you may receive, yes, this be granted, but only when we align our prayers with the will of God. And it just as he was saying, now may our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. How many times in our prayers daily are we asking God to direct someone who is lost to us to open up a Bible study? If we're not asking for that daily in our personal prayers, then we need to change. We need to ask daily that God direct someone who is lost our way, that we may ask them for a Bible study. And if you're not asking someone for a Bible study on a daily basis, then you need to change. You need to ask someone for a Bible study. We don't know whose path God has put in front of us. I would hate to get to Judgment Day and he say, well, I sent someone that I needed you to talk to, and you didn't even open your mouth.
And again, that goes back to having that that spiritual focus. That certainly Paul was concerned for the brethren there physically, but again, the purpose in all of this, even in sending Timothy to them previously in the chapter, and as Paul has emphasized now, that he wants to perfect what is lacking in their faith. That he wants God to make a way for him to be back with them so that he can help teach them spiritually, so that he can help them grow closer to God. And you know, as Aaron mentioned, that needs to be our prayer, even not just that God would direct someone to us, but that God would direct us to them.
Amen.
And so that's where we need to put our focus is what can we do, who can we find that we can help them grow closer to God today. But I do think it's interesting as well in this prayer that as we've already considered, Paul kept trying and trying and trying, yet he couldn't be with the brethren. Mm-hmm. Satan kept hindering, again, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18, yet Paul continued to pray that he could be with them. I think there's a powerful lesson in persistence here. You know, we've heard the quote, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again, right? Well, what if we apply that to prayer? If at first you don't receive, pray and pray again. Jesus certainly taught about the persistence of prayer in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. He taught about the persistence of prayer again in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. And so we know that even though we may not receive the answer that we want at the time we want, God still is concerned about what it is we're concerned with. And if it's something that is seriously weighing on us, if it's something that we truly desire, well, we need to cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. And who knows? Someday, that prayer might be answered in the way that we want it to. I want to look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And Jaime, I'm gonna have you read a few verses for us here. Acts chapter 20. And what we're going to see is that this is sometime after Paul has written this letter, after he has initially been with the brethren in Thessalonica. But Jaime, if you could read Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 3.
After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed there 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia.
So when we look in these verses, two times we're told that Paul finds a way to go through Macedonia. And so when we look here, we remember where it is that Thessalonica is located. Thessalonica is a city in Macedonia. And so Paul found the opportunity, he had the chance, not just once, but twice on down the road, that he could go through the region of Macedonia. And while it doesn't tell us specifically that Paul was able to visit Thessalonica, Thessalonica was a very prominent city, that it is very likely, if he didn't hit it on the first time through, it's very likely that he hit it the second time through. And so again, we can't say with any sort of specificity that this actually happened, that Paul was able to go back to Thessalonica. But I do believe that the Spirit, by inspiration, is giving us this portion here so that we can at least see and make that assumption that Paul very likely got that prayer granted, that Paul got to go back and to see his brethren in person, to be with them face to face. But again, the purpose in all of this was spiritual, because even as we go back into 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, it's not just that his way would be directed unto them, but Paul's prayer was also that the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Well, verse 12 takes us back to where Jaime had us earlier about the importance of love. That basically what Paul's prayer is that God, that the Lord could make them love and to love some more and to love a little bit more and then to learn to love even more than that. That's that whole idea that you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. And that love there is the sacrificial love. It's the love of God. It's the love of Christ Jesus. And it's important that we recognize who that's to. Because this isn't just a love that needs to be extended to the brethren, is it not?
No, to everyone.
Yeah, definitely. As Jaime said, it's to everyone. How else are we going to help bring people to Christ if we're not showing them our love? As the song says, they will know us by our love. And that's one of the fundamental things of Christianity. I mean, even John said, the greatest of these is love. We must understand that love is what's going to bring the lost to Christ. His love for them and our love for them. Without that love, we're no different than the world.
And you think about how that love is going to be shown. Because Paul knew it was likely that some of the brethren in Thessalonica upon receiving this letter would say, well, okay, you know, you want us to increase in love. Your prayer to God is that we would increase in love. What's that going to look like? And that's why Paul says at the end of the verse, just as we do to you, that Paul was giving them an example of Christ's love. He was giving an example of God's love in everything that he did with the brethren while he was there in person, but also while he's away, that he continues to show that care and concern for them, and again, that care and concern which is pointing them in a spiritual direction, that they could grow closer to God, that their faith could be more solidified. And the purpose in all of that, the purpose in growing to love more like God, more like Christ Jesus, is in verse 13, that the more we grow in that love, we find that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul shows why this is important. Paul shows why love is necessary, because Paul is pointing the brethren to Christ's return. That when Christ returns, our love needs to be where it can, or our love needs to be where it ought to be, so that God can do his part with us, so that ultimately we'll be called among those saints, those holy ones. That's what Paul's prayer is, that God would establish the hearts of the brethren blameless in holiness. How important is holiness?
Very important. You only need to go to the book of Isaiah and 6 and know that even Isaiah, who was God's prophet, said in verse 4, 6:4, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And so he knew that he was unholy, that he was a sinner. But then he said, you know, God, after touching that coal, the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." So, after that, he was made holy. Just as we, when we're washed in the waters of baptism, are made holy. And when we come up out of that water, we are as pure as we're ever going to be, right at that moment. And so we must make sure that we do our best to stay undefiled, that we stay holy, that we stay clean. And we do that through love, and through the love of God, and through love, the love of one another.
And that's exactly what God's plan for us from the beginning has always been. I think about Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, where it talks about God, and it says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Love is key, as Jaime mentioned, because love is, or at least having that love that God has shown towards us, that when we love like God, we will begin to live like God. We'll live as God wants us to, and God, you know, as Aaron mentioned from Isaiah 6, well, God is a holy God. We can think about 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, where we see Peter referencing, quoting back the book of Leviticus, where we see the idea to be holy, for I am holy. Because God is a holy God, then we are to be a holy people. And Paul's prayer was that the Thessalonians could be established by God, that their hearts would be blameless, that they would have no fault in them, so they could be holy. So they would be their hearts established blameless in holiness. And again, the emphasis here, before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. It wasn't the case that Paul wanted them to be blameless and holy for his sake. That Paul, as a teacher, didn't want them to be blameless and holy so that he could tell others to just look at the Thessalonians and look at what a great teacher I am. No, Paul said this is something of an eternal consequence, that if we're going to make sure that where we need to be when Christ Jesus returns, then we need to love like God, and we need to make sure that we are living each and every day where no one can find fault in us, and so that we can be found holy before our God and Father. And so certainly there is much more that we could go into as it relates to all of these things, but our time this morning is just about up, and so we don't want to go any further in this matter, but we're certainly thankful for the opportunity that we've had here on Mornings for the Master. I'm thankful to our brother Aaron Anderson and brother Jaime Weislogel for being here with us today in the studio in Mount Vernon, Texas. And who knows, we might be able to have them back with us for our next program. And so thank you for being here. Do y'all have any words to our listeners?
Thank you, Preston, for having us and having me. And it's just such a blessing and a joy to be a part of this great work. And study more, pray harder, and love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Jaime?
I'd like to say thank you so much for the opportunity, and prayers will be answered if you align your will with God's will. And this is just a fantastic opportunity. I'm almost speechless. I don't even know what to say. I just know that God will work in amazing ways, and thank you.
Well, thank you all, and thank you all listeners for sticking through the program with us today. And as I mentioned earlier on, of course, going through the study of 1 Thessalonians, if you have missed any of our previous programs, Brother David Suthoff does a great job of getting those up in the on-demand section for us. And so you can go back and catch up and be where we are next week, next Friday morning when I'm back with you at 9 a.m. so that we can continue our study in 1 Thessalonians. But I encourage you to listen to all of the other good programming that we have here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org.